at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is help make the process easy for somebody to go from point A to point C or D or whatever it is in the funnel without overcomplicating things.
Welcome to Small Business BS, the podcast designed to ignite your entrepreneurial spirit through thought-provoking ideas and actionable business strategies. Each week, entrepreneurs Adam Whitmer and Jeff Gargis dive into creative marketing hacks, proven sales methods, and clever growth strategies. Get ready to unlock the full potential of your business with insights that are both fun and impactful. And now, here are your hosts, Jeff Gargis and Adam Whitmer.
Welcome to episode 24 of the Small Business BS Podcast. I'm Adam Whitmer, and I'm here with my co-host, Jeff Gargis. In today's episode, we're going to talk about a dirty word for some businesses called funnels. So funnels is something you've probably heard, you may have implemented. There's a lot we can talk about here, Jeff, but can you start us off by giving us just a basic definition of what a funnel is? And, you know, if you find a definition, then maybe try to translate that to layman's terms for us to know what we're going to be talking about in this episode.
Yeah. And this is I like that you said dirty word. And I think it's a, I don't know if I would use dirty, but it's, I think it can be a very overwhelming word because, for example, I just Googled it. What is a funnel in marketing? And I mean, thousands and thousands of articles show up and images, and so many of them are different. We were talking about this before we hit record. We see the different stages and stuff, and there's colors, and they're all pretty and stuff. But like, some of them have four stages, some of them have eight stages. I've seen them with as many as like 12 to 13. It's just all over the place. So I think it's a dirty word because it can be overwhelming, it can be stressful, and I think some people put a little too much into it without actually understanding what it is. So hopefully we help a little bit in this episode. So I looked it up, and the AI overview that I am getting on Google is, in marketing, a funnel is a model representing the stages a customer goes through from initial awareness of a product or service to becoming a loyal customer. It says that it visually illustrates the customer journey and helps businesses understand how to best engage with potential customers at each stage. It also says that like funnels are typically divided into stages such as awareness, interest, consideration, and then decision or conversion, which I do think are the most common stages that you'll find. I didn't also looked at, I'm like, okay, what about a marketing funnel versus a sales funnel? What does Google say about this? And it says that the main difference between a marketing funnel and a sales funnel lies in their focus. So a marketing funnel is focused on attracting and nurturing leads, while a sales funnel is focused on converting those leads into customers. I tend to think that they work together, and a lot of times are part of the same funnel. There's just, when you get lower in that funnel, you're getting into the sales side of things. To break that down a little more, I guess layman's in the way to do it, I think I'm good at that, hopefully, because I speak that way. But essentially your funnel, and we use funnel because it's just a nice way of like visualizing it, because up top is there's more, because more people are going to discover you than are going to purchase you. So we see this funnel kind of like narrow in at the bottom, because as you get closer and closer to the sale, fewer and fewer people make it there, and that's okay. And that's why we use the funnel. You can find a million different names for what they're talking about here. But essentially, this is just the path that a potential customer takes from discovering your brand, your service, your product, to becoming a purchaser of it. And there's some stages that go through, right? They talk about the most common and sort of broad ones are your awareness. I've discovered you. The interest. I have at least an interest in what you may have to offer. The consideration is where I'm actually considering purchasing this thing, and you're one of the things that I'm, one of the places I'm considering purchasing it for, and then I'm actually purchasing it or going into the conversion side of it. So it, to simplify that, I hope that simplifies it. It's just the path in which someone needs to go through in order to go from discovering your stuff to buying your stuff.
Yeah, that's a great explanation. And there is a lot there. And I'm glad you said that it can be overwhelming, because this is something I think that a lot of business owners do struggle with, especially on the small business side of things. You know, larger corporations have multiple layers of funnels. They'll have, you know, the larger corporations will have a marketing funnel, a sales funnel, and they're going to be breaking it down multiple levels. But for most of us small business owners, we don't need it to be that in depth. It just needs to be simple, but we do have to have some sort of funnel. And I, you know, as you were giving that definition, Jeff, I kind of wrote down exactly what you had. but a little bit differently. I view a funnel as the logistical steps needed to take a customer from once they find you to purchase a product with you. It's the logistical steps of how they do it. And for funnels, you know, they're going to be different based on the type of business, especially if it's in person or online. And so if you think about an online website, it could be as simple as going to a website, being, if somebody's looking to purchase, let's just say a couch, because I've bought a couch in the last month, they go to the website, they type in the couch, they find the couch, and then how do they get to the point of actually hitting buy the couch, enter their credit card information, and then hitting the confirmation to confirm and purchase, and then getting a follow-up, and then logistically getting contacted so that the couch can be delivered and shipped, and then follow up for warranty information and all that. So it's the logistical process of walking somebody through. And of course, a brick and mortar store is going to be different, where it's not a click, click, click. It's more a matter of how they come in. And if we're going into a hardware store, for example, and you need a specific screw, you walk in, you say, I need a screw. The customer service person walks over, finds it for them, hands it to them, and then takes them to the cash register. And then they either pay with cash or maybe they have a card. And logistically, they have to then have a payment processor and go through those steps. So a lot of these pieces of a funnel are natural logistics of making a sale. But the idea behind a funnel is that when that funnel is complicated and complex, it's going to be difficult for your customer to make a sale. And when it's simple and smooth, it's going to be much easier. So I kind of view a funnel as that logistical piece. And that's how I view it when I'm thinking in terms of funnel, Jeff.
I don't know if disagree is the right word, but because I don't know that I think about it as the logistic piece of it, because while I agree with like whatever everything you just said, when I'm thinking about my funnel, I'm thinking about actually the emotional, or not necessarily emotional might not be the right word, but emotional or mindset that someone is in, right? So if you think about the top of your funnel is the awareness. So to get them into my funnel to start, I need to make them aware of me, which means I'm going to use your couch. I'll try to use your couch example, see if I can still get there. Is your Adam's starting to look for a couch. So you're probably going to do what most people do. You're going to Google best couches for families of five or whatever is on your mind. In the awareness stage, my goal is to make it so that when you're out looking, starting to look and starting to think about the couch, like that you become aware of my brand, or possibly you're aware of my brand long before you ever need a couch. And then you're getting into like the interest stage where you're starting to actually think about, okay, like I'm interested in what you have to do. So maybe I'm going to explore your couches. I'm going to explore the sales you have, or I'm exploring a lot of other couches. And then you move down further and you're actually into a consideration stage where now you're at the point where you're like, okay, I'm ready to buy a couch, but I'm just not sure what couch exactly just yet. And I need to make sure that you are in my funnel so that I am being considered as one of the places you might buy your couch. And then obviously the final is the conversion, which means that's where I'm like, hey, like you're no interest financing, or, you know, I have the color you want, or the style you want, or whatever it is. And now I'm converting. So like for me, it's that right there is less logistics as far as the piece. But I do think the logistics obviously play into that, right? And I think more importantly, regardless of how you actually picture that, one of the last things you said is I think the absolute key is if it's complicated and difficult to get through, it doesn't work. It needs to be simple and smooth, right? From the very point of I'm aware of your brand to I want to buy your brand to the steps on how I actually make the purchase, like that all has to be smooth and easy. It's got to be really easy for me to understand the process for buying and getting delivery of the couch and all that type of stuff. But it's also got to be really easy for me to discover you and to understand what kind of products or what kind of couches you have and materials you use, et cetera, whatever, or brands you offer. And how the process of purchasing works. So I think for me, I think a little bit less logistically and a little bit more mentally. It's probably emotionally. That's probably the right word to use as a quote unquote marketer. But I think for me, it's more like, where's your mindset at? Is like, what stage of the buying process are you potentially in?
Right. No, that's great. And I'm glad you brought that up. But I disagree with you on that, and it's just a different format. And I think this is a great conversation, because this is why the topic of funnels can be so overwhelming, is because there's not a defined way, and a lot of people have different interpretations to this. for me, the funnel is logistical pieces. But when you consider that emotional piece, or really I think of it more as a relationship piece on how you're relating to your buyer. I view that more as a different piece altogether. And I call it the buyer's journey. And you know, you and I have talked about this a lot. I've written an entire book on this called The Buyer's Journey, where I view the funnel as the logistical pieces, but the buyer's journey is more of that connection and that relationship and how you're relating to the emotional piece of somebody who is purchasing from you. And so I view it a little bit differently, but you know, to keep it simplified, you know, a small business owner at the end of the day, it's really just the process of how they take somebody from the beginning to the end. And the reason I like to differentiate a funnel from a buyer's journey is I think a lot of times when we're starting out to build a funnel, we overlook that relational piece, that connection piece, that emotional piece of the buyer's journey. And so I think it's important to have some good language for it. But at the end of the day, what we're trying to do is help make the process easy for somebody to go from point A to point C or D or whatever it is in the funnel without overcomplicating things. And so that's really the overview of a funnel. Now, Jeff, my question for you is, how would this relate to a small business owner? This could be somebody who's been in business for a long time, who has a process set up, but they've never thought of it in terms of a funnel. And maybe they're trying to build their online presence and build their online store. They've maybe purchased Shopify or some sort of program to assist them to do online sales because they're trying to branch out. You know, how could somebody who is an existing business owner take a funnel and start to implement the funnel theory or process in their business?
Yeah, I think you hit on a really important part, is that like when you talk about the buyer's journey, and I can't remember if I said it to you before we hit record or whatever, but like in those that are listening, the book's not out yet, but when Adam's book comes out, if you follow that buyer's journey, like the framework that Adam has, like you'll build your funnel by accident. Like it'll just happen. And I think that's the key, is like, regardless of what you call it, because a lot of people call it other things too, right? And whether you think it's more logistical or more emotional or a combination of two, which is actually, I think, where I actually land, it's the purpose of the whole thing, and that visualization is just to get you to think through this, right? And you have to think through the whole thing of, from how do people discover me to like, how do I make sure that the purchasing process is easy, simple, streamlined, and so on and so forth. So I think the way that you can kind of step back, and I'm actually going to like remove the funnel. I'm going to try to remove the funnel language and just think about the purpose of the funnel and this whole thing that gets funnel crazy, is as a business owner, stepping back and going, okay, how do people discover me? How do they find my business? And regardless of whether you're an online business, and maybe that discovery is through social media or, you know, or ads or whatever it might be, or if you're a brick and mortar business and your discovery is through local advertisements or billboards or just foot traffic or your Google page, regardless, thinking through, okay, like if that's how someone finds me, okay, great. Now, how does someone purchase from me? Which could be they go through my Shopify account, they have to submit a request for proposal or fill out a quote info or a page or contact form or whatever on my website, or they have to come in and see something, or they have to call me and set up a meeting to come into my business, or whatever it might be, or I have to come out and do an estimate for the yard, whatever it is. So those are your points, your key points, right? So how can someone discover me, and then how do they actually purchase? And then in between there is the quote unquote funnel, which is also part, really your emotional side, your buyer's journey of like, how do I get them from there to here? Because most people, obviously some people are just going to see it. They're already at the point where they need to buy today and they're going to make it. That's not what I'm talking about, right? That's the easy walk-in traffic who's like, I need this right now. You happen to be here, I'm doing it, right? You're the first thing that popped up on Google, I'm purchasing. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the person who discovers you because you just happen to put a good meme out on social media. So now they're aware of your brand. How do you get that person down to, okay, I'm ready to purchase? Well, that's your process in there. Well, you have to ease into them, right? You have to do what we call nurturing in in marketing, which is letting them get to know your business, right? Get to know either yourself as your personal brand or your brand as a business, whatever it is. And there's a lot of things that go in there, and you have to think through what is good about your business, what sets you apart. We've talked about like your differentiating factors and your brand and all this type of stuff before. Those are the type of things that we need to make them aware of. And we, Adam and I, both most likely both say email marketing is the way you're going to want to do this. Get them on your email list. You're going to nurture them through there. And we're going to talk about that in a soon to come episode as well. But that may not always be the way. Maybe it's a Facebook group that you bring them in, and that's where you're having engagement and stuff. Maybe there's local events that you put on with the Chamber of Commerce, and that's how you get people to like really start to know, like, and trust your brand. So again, you're seeing really quick. We're getting really all over the place really quick if we want to. The key is the whole purpose of this is to just think through this process, because a lot of times we just set up shop. We say, oh, I'm open for business. And we're like, twiddle and thumbs going on. I hope someone comes in. But that's not how it works. We have to think through and I'm going to say the buyer's journey again, just continuously push the book. But like, how do they get from this point to that point? From everything, from the emotional state to logistics, all of it. I think it all goes together, Adam. I think I'm thinking that more and more, honestly. So
yeah, no, I can completely agree. I think that one point to mention here that's important for, you know, anybody listening to this is that a funnel is going to be different for every single business, and it's going to be different for every single industry. If you're a restaurant and you are in a great location, you're going to have walk-in traffic, and all your funnel is literally the hostess taking them from the door to sit them down, and then the server then taking their order, and it's that simple. But if you are selling some sort of complex, unique service, maybe you are offering a service where you add on sunrooms to houses, you've got to find people who are interested in that. You've got to figure out how to lead them to you instead of your competition. You've got to go through the logistics of figuring out exactly what they want, if they're on a low tier or high tier on price point. You've then got to figure out a crew to go in and order supplies, and it's a lot more complicated process. So I think a key there is it's going to be different for everyone. And the question that we need to ask ourselves is, what does our organization need as it relates to a funnel? What type of funnel is appropriate for my business and for my customers? And so I think that's the question we need to ask. Now, Jeff, I've come up with a list of four downfalls that people often get into when they're trying to set up a funnel. And I'd like to share those in a second.
Before you go there, I want to add, because you got me thinking with the way you were talking about like the different type of businesses, what they are. I think in that that funnels are different. We talk about like stages and right where they're at. And regardless of how you choose to break up those stages based on where you look to get your info, it's also important to understand from your ideal audience, your target customer, depending on what your business is, what you sell, and who you sell to, people are going to spend time in different stages and different time in different stages, right? When you were talking about you own maybe your business that does, I was thinking myself, I'm like, what if you're a business that sells professional development to schools? Well, timing is really important. So someone might actually get into that awareness stage where they're aware of us, but they're not looking right now, and they may be there for 8 months. And so what are we doing? What are we doing? How do we stay connected with them? How do we keep our name at the top of the list through that entire time frame until they're ready to start thinking about it? And then from there, now, so thinking through that process as well, right? So if I'm looking for landscaping, but it's October when I discover you and I'm in Ohio, I'm probably not having you come out anytime soon, right? But I might fill out a form that's like, yeah, I want to be on your newsletter. I'm going to download those 10 tips for a better spring because I'm already thinking about it. But I'm not hiring you until February, March, April probably. So how do you, part of your funnel and your process here and part of this journey for me as a potential customer is what's happening when the timing isn't right yet? And how are you keeping me connected so that when I'm like, oh, shoot, it's 60 today. It must be spring coming because it's Ohio and I don't realize it's going to snow tomorrow. And I get all excited. I don't have to think about it. I'm going to go right to that email from Adam. I'm going to go right back to the site because I know I've already learned who Adam is. I know his business. It's local. I like it. And I want him to do my landscaping, right? So thinking through the phase of, I think, again, going back to like this whole thing is all about thinking through these things about your business. And a lot of people just don't do that. And so a lot of this is just encouraging you to take the time to step back and actually analyze this part of your business. Sorry, I wanted to add that in because
that's perfect.
The way you were doing that just made me think about the timing part can be so big. Which
yeah,
is
and that's a perfect segue into the four downfalls of funnels that people fall into. And I think the first downfall is focusing on the funnel, not the customer. And so it's so easy to focus on the logistical piece of making it work. And I've been guilty of this. And I think most people who are dealing with websites and technology are guilty of focusing on the tech and not the customer. And so it's so important to remember that what we're doing in our businesses when we're dealing with technology and workflow and processes it's not the workflow, technology and processes. It's the customer that we're really doing. That's what we're trying to do is connect that. And the second downfall is doing too much too soon. And what I mean by that is we cannot ask a customer who's just discovered our business to marry us without dating them and getting engaged and having a proposal in between. And so if we're literally going from them finding our website to asking them to buy a $500,000 product, that's not going to work very well. There's an appropriate dating process. There's an appropriate stage of nurturing and development. And so it's important to not ask for too much too soon in your funnel. The third downfall is having a weak or irrelevant lead magnet. A lead magnet, which we'll talk about probably in the next episode or one of the future episodes coming up, is, and we'll describe it better, but basically it's the incentive for somebody to get into your funnel. You know, how do you get people into your funnel in the first place? Well, one tool to do that is through a lead magnet. And so when we have a weak or irrelevant lead magnet, that can be a detriment to our funnel. And then finally, if the third downfall is not having a follow-up and not having a nurturing process, if we, again, expect the technical piece to work on its own, that's not going to be effective. It's not going to be as effective as if we're relational and have nurturing and follow-up in our funnel. And so I view those as four downfalls. Anything you want to add to that, Jeff?
No, I think that those four downfalls are, I mean, those are spot on because I think for the first one was tell me the first one because it was worrying too much about the tools, right? Is that how you phrased it?
Focus on the funnel, not the customer.
Yeah, right. Which is what we're kind of talking about, which is like, yeah, use the word funnel or whatever you want to call it. The purpose of this whole thing is to step back and think about your customer and where they're going, right? So I love that. And then that goes right into the second one of asking for too much. Yeah. Like, and that's what happens, I think, most common because people don't go through this process. Is that they're like, here's my website. And the very first thing you see is buy now, like, or get a quote. And it's like, they don't even know you yet, right? And that might, again, that might work for certain things, but you need to step back and assess your customer's journey and your buyer's journey and how, where they actually going to be when they get on that webpage or when they see you on social, whatever it is. And so, yeah, I love that. I think that's absolutely key. The lead magnet thing, spot on. We're going to talk about that in the next episode. It all comes back to, I think the general theme here is it's not necessarily about the quote unquote funnel. It's about the emotional journey that someone has to take from discovering you to purchasing from you. And so much goes into that from where they're at, what you're doing, what you're selling, what's important to how they do it. Everything goes into that. And I think it's the important piece. If you get anything out of this episode is to step back and actually think about this part of your business. It's super important, especially if you are online, like definitely all, for any business because there's a component to it, but like, especially if you're online because like you don't have the benefit of someone just walking into your store and getting to see your smiling face. So this is good. I think this is probably a good spot to call it for this one. We'll get into lead magnets in the next one. Then I think maybe we'll dive into further into like maybe some email stuff down the road and that type of stuff too. So does that work?
It does. It's continuing on from our last episode, episode 23 of content marketing. So yeah, this is a great spot to stop. And I did want to say, you know, if anybody's interested in my book that I plan to release sometime later this year, I do have a wait list. It may be available by the time this episode is released, but likely not. So if you want to get on the wait list, you can go to buyercentricbook.com. The the title is not The Buyer's Journey. The title is The Buyer-Centric Small Business. And so buyercentricbook.com is where you can find it. And I talk all about the buyer's journey. And like Jeff said, if you go through the book, you'll actually understand a funnel without using the language of a funnel at all in the book.
I was laughing when you said it might be out by this. I was going to do like the narrator voice of, it won't be out by the...
Exactly.
If he ever released, I'm giving Adam crap because it's if you've ever done a, if you haven't written a book, just know it is a long process. It is not easy, and when you have a mind like Adam, you're gonna go through your book 38 times to make sure it says what you want to say. But it's a good book. I read the first version of it, like, and you've improved and added to it since I even read it. So it's gonna be powerful, and especially specific to the world, the kind of the stuff that we've been talking about the last episode and this episode and the next couple for sure. So
yeah,
excited for it. That's all I got. Yeah. I don't have anything else to share. Let's just close it out. Rock and roll. We'll see you in the next episode. Go ahead, Adam.
Sounds good. Then that's all we have for this episode of the Small Business BS Podcast. For more information on this episode and other episodes, go to smallbusinessbs.com. Until next time, have fun, be strategic, and get out there and grow your business. We'll see you next week.
Thanks for tuning in to this week's episode of the Small Business BS Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe and share it with fellow entrepreneurs. Until next time, keep thinking big and taking action in your business, one step at a time.
Some sources claim that 90% of podcasts don't make it past episode 3.
I know. That's awesome.
I was trying to find but beyond that, like how many make it to 24? Like, you know what I mean?
I know. Probably not too many. I think it's because there's two of us here.
Of the 10% that make it past episode 3, another 90% of that tend to quit by episode 20. So therefore, a podcast reach in episode 25 is considered to be in among the top 1%.
Wow. All right. So we'll celebrate next episode.
Yeah, because so 10% make it to past episode 3, and then another 90% of that 10%. So 1% is what makes it past episode 20. Wow, that's awesome. That's crazy.
Well, and this... Well, this doesn't feel like a lot of work because we've been meeting for 4 years.
So yeah, no, it just
feels like another meeting with Jeff.
That's a good point, though. I think there's some, if we ever go to that route of talking about that, I think the idea of having a co-host, there's obviously pros and cons, right? The schedule stuff, the having two people, whatever. But like, it's also the pro of like, we're accountable to each other to make this happen. And if something happens where we have to cancel or can't do it, like we're going to feel bad because we both have integrity. And so even if we're not like super excited about it, we still have that part. And to your point, like we're able to, if one of us shows up without an idea, hopefully the other one has an idea or we're able to find something versus just being all on your own. There's an advantage to it.
Or we'll just BS our way through.
Well, yeah, that's why we put it in the title.
That's right. All right, I guess we recorded all that, so it's
yeah, we're recording, great. So we can go whatever you're ready to.